Hello, church. Welcome to those of you worshiping on Facebook Live. Hello to those of you on YouTube. Hello to those worshiping on Instagram. And of course, our website, cpcdanville.org. The first thing I want to do with you is share with you some good news from last weekend, which was Easter weekend. We had Good Friday on Friday and Easter weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And I want to share with you some good news about that. For last week, Easter for the Valley, we reached more people than we ever have before on Easter. 10,750 views of our Easter service. So grateful for that, celebrating that with you. For Good Friday, 3,600 views. Those two services at 12:30 and 6, 3,600 views, a record for Good Friday as well. And the number we're most excited about is this one right here, 133 decisions for Christ. That's 133 people that texted in saying, I said yes to Jesus. We are praising God. I know you're in your living room and I'm here in this empty room, but I think we can clap and say thank you to God together. Go ahead, clap it up right there in your living room. Praise God for that. Welcome back to This Week. Today, we break the seal on a new series. It's a three-week series, and here's what it's called right here, FOMO. The series is called FOMO. That's fear of missing out. And so to launch into this series and to set up the 3 weeks where we're headed, I want to start with three truths about FOMO. Three truths about FOMO. Here's number one. We all have a friend. We all have a friend. You're going, I got lots of friends, probably. But here's my point. We all have a friend who accidentally, unintentionally, through no fault of their own, just through simply living their best life. We have a friend, and it might be a real friend. It might be a Facebook friend. It might be an Instagram friend or follower. We have a friend, all of us, who activates, who triggers in us our FOMO. They trigger something in us where we fear, or its close cousins, anxiety or envy or worry or insecurity. It triggers in us a desire for more. Something that says we don't have something. We're not experiencing something. We're missing out on something. We need to do more. We need to do everything. We need to sign up for everything. We need to sign up our kids for everything. We all have a friend who triggers FOMO in us. In a recent article in the New York Times called The Agony of Instagram, Alex Williams said this, FOMO, quote, needs an object of desire, and everyone, it seemed, has that friend on Instagram. The one with the perfect clothes, or the perfect hair, or the perfect family, or the seemingly perfect life, which seem all the more perfect when rendered in the rich teals and vivid ambers of Instagram's filters. Isn't that true? We all have a friend. In 2012, Instagram was bought by Facebook for about $1 billion. At the time, Instagram had about 15 million users, and by the way, only 13 employees. Hello. Now, in 2020, Instagram is valued at $100 billion and has over 115 million users. Quite an investment. And interestingly, the term FOMO was coined the very next year, in 2013. That's the year it entered the Oxford Dictionary as an official word. Connection? Coincidence? Perhaps, but we'll get back to social media a little bit later. Now back to our list, three truths about FOMO. Number one, we all have a friend. Number two, we all have a fear. We all have a fear. You might think we have many fears, but we all have a fear of something. And now, in this season of uncertainty, in the COVID-19 reality in which we're living, sheltering in place, this season has triggered, has activated a fear in more of us than ever before. Now, many of us have more time, we have less rhythm, we have less structure in our lives. We're literally missing out on more things. I made a list here. We're missing out on work or school or sports or events or activities or vacations or dreams or plans or people. We miss the people in our lives. We all have a fear. But let me tell you this about FOMO. FOMO was not born in 2013. FOMO is not a recent phenomenon. came out before the internet, before social media, before hashtags, before Twitter. You are not, I am not, we are not dealing with something new. To look at the origins of FOMO, you got to go back. You got to go way back. You got to go all the way back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, when God created man, male and female, and they were tempted in the Garden of Eden. I'm talking Genesis chapter 3 at verse 1, tempted by the serpent, where he says this way, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And that FOMO can be traced back to their initial curiosity and the eventual fall of humankind when the serpent teased and tempted them. Did he really say you would die? Is your life really perfect without this fruit from this tree? Do you really have everything you need? Do you really have enough? And Adam and Eve wanted more. They wanted to know more. They wanted to have more. And so they were deceived because they believed that God was holding out on them. Guess what? You and I can still be convinced of that God is holding out on us. And it's not just in the beginning of the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. It's in the middle of the Bible. Let's go now to the book of Psalms. I've been spending so much time reading in the Psalms during the season. Psalm 73, beginning at verse 1, a great example of FOMO and the effects on the human body, mind, and soul. Beginning at verse 1, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart," the psalmist writes. "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I was going down. I had nearly lost my foothold. And why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He goes on, "They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills." That ends in verse 5. He keeps going from verse 5 all the way down to 15, talking about what they do, what they say, what they make, where they go. And what happens, it stirs up something in him that's very, very close to FOMO. It is that. It's comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy. It's the cornerstone of discontentment. It's the first step toward FOMO, and that's where he goes. And he ends up in Psalm 73 at verse 16, where he says this, "When I tried to understand all of this, why they have what they have and I don't, it was oppressive to me." I think that's what many of us feel. It's oppressive to us. When we experience FOMO and anxiety and worry, it's oppressive to us. It's a weight. It's heavy on us. This is us. FOMO is not a new thing. It's in the Bible in the beginning. It's in the Bible in the middle. And it's still in our lives today. Three truths about FOMO. Number one, we all have a friend. Number two, we all have a fear. And here's the third truth about it. We're all in a fight. We are all in a fight. Listen to this. Lean into this. You may not realize this, but we're all in a fight. You are in a fight. You might not know it. You might not admit it. You might not want to recognize it, but you are in a fight. I'm in a fight. We're all in a fight. We have a spiritual battle going on for our heart and our soul and our mind. And the devil, our spiritual enemy and adversary, I'm telling you this, is not playing around. John chapter 10 at verse 10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." The thief is our spiritual enemy. He hates God and he hates you and he hates me. That's the devil. And you know what he comes to do? Only to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to destroy your life. And he's not playing around. Similarly, 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, how like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." We have an enemy. We're in a fight. It's the devil. And what is the devil doing? Is he dancing? Is he prancing around? Is he like a little? No, he's like a roaring lion. Have you ever seen a roaring lion when he's hungry, looking for prey? He's looking for someone to devour. You might forget, it might be easy to push aside, but you and I are in a fight. Let me just give you a principle about fights for your life. Here it is right here. If you don't think you're in a fight, you're likely to lose that fight. If you don't think you're in a fight, you are likely to lose that fight. I'll give you an example from my life. When I was in middle school, in junior high, I was at a pool party with one of my best buddies back in Martinez, and we were doing that play fight thing, you know, where you jab and you get kind of close and you do brush off things, like where you hit them on the side of the arm or the shoulder, or maybe you get a little close to their face, but everybody knows you're playing. I thought we were playing. Well, I hit him too hard. And unbeknownst to me, he switched into a mode where he believed, this is not a play fight, this is a real fight. And I didn't know it. So guess what happens? If you don't think you're in a fight, you're likely to lose that fight. So I came in all playing, and he had turned the corner to being serious, and he clocked me right in my face and my jaw. I fell down onto the pool deck and almost into the pool. I lost that fight because I didn't realize I was even in it. And you might go, Tyler, why would you tell that story to thousands of people? And the reason why is I want you to understand. I want you to understand. We're all in a fight. The truths about FOMO. We all have a friend. We all have a fear. We're all in a fight. So the question is, and we're going to spend the remainder of our time on this. The question is simply, how do we fight FOMO? That's the rest of our time. How do we fight FOMO? We're going to look to God's word. We're going to glean God's wisdom, and we're going to follow God's ways. And where we're going is a psalm that I looked at. I discovered it this week. I can't believe I haven't preached it before. But in my research, I realized that none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon calls this the golden nugget among the Psalms. It's Psalm 16. Psalm 16, beginning at verse 1. Here's what God's word said. We're going to read the whole psalm. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me, even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. And finally, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That is Psalm 16. Now I see in that psalm, and I will now share with you, four ways to fight FOMO. Four ways straight from Psalm 16 to fight FOMO. Here's number one. Take refuge in God. Take refuge in God. Take refuge in God. Look what the psalmist says, David, in Psalm 16, verses 1 and 2. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. That's how he fights FOMO. In you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Now this word refuge, it means right here, safety. You take refuge. You make the Lord your hiding place. You make him your protection. You say, you are my rescue. You are my safety place. You are my hiding place. You are my strength. You are my strong tower. That's what he's saying. You want to fight FOMO? Take refuge in God, just like David did. Now, for what I think is an even better picture of what that looks like, let's go back to Psalm 73, where we were earlier tonight. Remember, the psalmist was doing the comparison game. Will they? Look at Psalm 73 at verse 16. Look at where we left it off. It says, when I tried to understand all this, and what is all this? When I tried to understand why they have and they go and they do and they get invited. And I don't, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. My FOMO, my anxiety, my worry, it was oppressive to me. But look at the second part. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. And then I understood. When I tried to understand all those things, it was oppressive to me. When I was constantly comparing, I was fearful, I was anxious, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God, until I took refuge under the shadow of the Most High God, and then I understood. When I was comparing, God, are you blessing others and are you overlooking me? When I was comparing that, when I was playing that game, and you've played it, I've played it, the if only game. If only I had what they had, then I'd be happy. If only I lived like they live, then I would be fulfilled. I will tell you this, the if only game is toxic for your heart. Take refuge in God. It's the number one way to fight FOMO. I love Psalm 34 at verse 9 and 10. It says this, fear the Lord. And the word for fear here in the Hebrew is closer to revere. It's like reverence. It's not, oh, I'm scared. It's reverence. Fear the Lord, revere the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear, revere him, will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes grow hungry. I love that line. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good things. Even strong young lions like you, you're strong young lions. I know you well. I've lived in this community most of my life. It's filled with strong young lions. You're educated, you're highfalutin, you're highly successful, you're highly influential. You are strong young lions. But what does it say? Even strong young lions sometimes grow hungry. Even strong young lions sometimes have to shelter in place. Even strong young lions go through seasons where they lose a bunch of money and investments. Even strong young lions lose their job. Even strong young lions sometimes experience a season of uncertainty. But those who trust in the Lord, who take refuge in him, they will lack no good thing. Four ways to fight FOMO. Number one, take refuge in God. Number two, practice gratitude for all God has given to you. Practice gratitude for all God has given to you. Look at Psalm 16 at verse 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. This is about as perfect a picture as you can get in Scripture of someone practicing gratitude. They're instructing their heart. They're reminding themselves of what they have and, more importantly, of who they have in the Lord. Lord, you alone are my portion. You are enough. Lord, you alone are my cup. You fill me up. You make my lot secure. My security. We all want security. My security comes from you, God. The boundary lines, those are property lines. What they have. My apartment, my condo, my rental, my home, my whatever. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. This word here, pleasant, it's where the Hebrew word for joy comes. It appears twice in this psalm. The second time is in verse 11. We'll end with it. The boundary lines for me, what you have given to me, I'm joyful for. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So not only am I joyful and grateful for what I have now in you, but I look ahead to the inheritance that is waiting for me in you. Whew. And yet, in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve in ways that we can relate to. Satan was deceptive. FOMO is deceptive. Did God really say you can't? Does God really give us all we need? Is God really enough to fill our cup? Is what he has given you truly enough? You know, you've lost a lot. You're down a lot. It's a season of uncertainty for you. You'd be better off with more, don't you think? Or here's the one that we often land on. And this is what the serpent convinced Adam and Eve about. Is God holding out on you? Is he? I would answer that with scripture. It's the best way. It's the best place to turn. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Is God holding out on us? Of course not. He gave up his one and only son. So won't he graciously give us all things? He's given us forgiveness of sins. He's given us eternal life. He's given us a message, a gospel message that 133 people on Easter said, I say yes to that. I want what you're giving us, Jesus. Similarly, 1 John chapter 4 at verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. See, FOMO loses its grip on our hearts when we remember that Christ has sacrificed for me. FOMO loses its grip on your heart when you remember that Christ has sacrificed for you. Oh, I want you to get that. Can I ask you some questions? Here's the first one. Are you content? Really? Here's the second one. Is God enough to fill your cup? Here's the third one. What makes you feel secure? Are you content? Is God enough to fill your cup? What makes you feel secure? See, when FOMO creeps in and lies sneak in, and you hear that voice, is God withholding blessings from me and giving them to other people? Do that second thing. Practice gratitude for all God has given to you. I had to do that this week. And here's where I have to, I want to tell you one of the hardest parts about preaching is it's painful a lot of the time. This, God's word, in order to do it well, in order to do it in a way that honors God, has to wash through me to get to you. And so this week, I'll just tell you, I had to remind myself to practice gratitude for all that God had given to me, specifically in relation to my own wife, Bridget. And I was reminded, I need to change my attitude in relation to my wife. I need to be grateful for everything that she is and everything that she does. And so I was prompted to go back to my car because in my wallet, I made something years ago that I look at maybe a couple of times a year when I need to remind myself and instruct my own heart to be grateful for what God has given to me, namely my own wife as one of those things. I made a list. I just wrote out a list. It's 10 things I like Bridget. Look, you can see it. It's barely, I could probably tear it with a little bit of pressure. That's how old it is. It's at least 15 years old. Bridget, and I just 10 things. Loves God, loves people, an amazing wife and mom, serves constantly, a pure heart and soul, talented, motivated to grow, humble, funny and fun, very unselfish. Just 10 of the things about her to remind me of why I should be so grateful to God for her. We go back to Psalm 16, 5 and 6 and see what he does. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines for me, what you've given to me, they've fallen for me in pleasant places. I'm joyful over that. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. When you're so secure in your relationship with Christ, you look at other people forgot you? Other people neglected you? Other people rejected you? Other people left you out? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because you're so secure in your relationship with Christ. You have built your foundation on the rock. Four ways to fight FOMO. Number one, take refuge in God. Number two, practice gratitude for all God has given to you. Number three, set boundaries on social media. Set boundaries on social media. You're going like, wait, where did I see that in the text? Well, before we get to the text, let me just show you something that pastor and author John Piper put together. He wrote an article that tried to explain why we all tend to reach first for our phones, for technology, for social media in the morning, and then tend to reach back for it at every lull throughout the day. Look at his list very quickly. Why we reach first for technology. Number one, novelty candy. It's a novelty. It's FOMO is what he talks about. It's fear of missing out. Number two, ego candy. We check social media, we check technology to see how many people have liked, how many people have commented, how many people have engaged with what we put. Number three, entertainment candy. Is there anything funny? Is there anything shareable? Is there anything obnoxious? Is there anything wild that we missed? Number four, boredom avoidance. It's going to be another day. Shelter in place. Groundhog Day, not much to do, avoiding boredom, and so we go to technology. Responsibility avoidance, it's going to be a big day. I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a student, I'm an employee, but we avoid responsibility by going to tech. Hardship avoidance, there's conflict, there's a tough situation to walk into, there's a tough thing to deal with. This is a list of people. Now, before you start to feel guilty, let me share something. I'm 6 for 6. Again, I had to look at this and I go, that's what I do. Here's what I do. I wake up and I charge my phone every night. It's right next to my bedstand. And the first thing I do when I wake up, honestly, I grab my phone. I have sweats and I put on a hoodie. I put my phone in my pocket. I take my glasses, which I can't read my phone without anymore, and I put it in the front pocket of my hoodie. And then I go downstairs and I get my coffee and I go to a place where I have a Bible. But most times, even before I open my Bible, I'll take a look at my phone and I'll scroll. Maybe you do the same. Now, what I want you to see, I want you to see the contradiction. I want you to see the difference of what David does. Because I just told you, just like what you probably do, I take out my phone and I set it before me. That's what I do. I take out my phone and I set my phone, I set technology, I set social media before me first thing in the morning and several times throughout the day to fill lulls. Contrast that, juxtapose that with what David does in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. Here's what he says. I have set the Lord always before me. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure. I set technology before me. You probably set technology before yourself. You set social media. David says, I've set the Lord always before me. And when I do, with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. My heart is always glad. My tongue is always rejoicing. I always rest secure. What I would posit here to all of you is that when we set technology, and specifically when we set social media, especially without any boundaries, before us early and often, the opposite of we're absolutely shaken. Our heart is not glad. As a matter of fact, FOMO and envy and anxiety creep in. Our tongue does not rejoice, and our body physically does the opposite of resting secure. We feel incredibly insecure. How do you fight FOMO? Set boundaries on social media. It's a must for you and for your family. I don't know if you know this, but a few weeks ago while we were sheltering in place, we tried to figure out ways to be more for the valley. And we put our heads and our hearts together. We thought, We have the means. Why don't we start a TV show, a live TV show, interactive with people on Facebook Live and Instagram and on Wednesday nights from 7 to 7:30 p.m., and we'll have leaders and influencers from our community. We've taped three live shows. You can find all of them on forthevalley.tv, forthevalley.tv. But on this subject in particular, setting boundaries on social media and anxiety and fears associated with them, really on the larger topic of mental health, that was our topic last week. And you can go to forthevalleylive.tv and you can watch our guests were Michaela Mims from CPCC, that's our counseling center, and Wendy Hagen, who's the director of speakers for Teen Esteem. And on this topic in particular, social media, Wendy Hagen's segment was incredibly transparent. Someone asked her, how long should our kids be allowed to be on screens? And she said, I don't know for sure because, let's be honest, we're the guinea pig generation. Nobody before us has had social media. We don't have standards set. But she says, based on my research and what I have known and experienced, here's what I can share. And she shared this. She said, I have an 11-year-old and she gets 3 hours of screen time. And I have a 13-year-old and she gets 4 hours of screen time. And I have a 16-year-old who gets 5 hours of screen time over and above schooling, which is now on a screen. Now you might think, man, that's a lot of time on screens. I will tell you that a recent survey showed that the average teenager spends over 7 hours every day on their screens outside of school. You gotta set boundaries on social media. Here's another easy thing that you could do. Turn on the Screen Time app on your phone, so at least at the end of every day, you get a push alert letting you know, just be aware of how much time you're spending every day on your phone. That will help you set a boundary on social media. Okay, back to our list, 4 ways to fight FOMO. Take refuge in God, practice gratitude for all God has given to you, set boundaries on social media, and finally, walk the path where you feel God's presence. That's our last point. Walk the path where you feel God's presence. David wraps up this golden nugget of a psalm with verse 11 at chapter 16. It says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, eternal pleasures. Again, that's the Hebrew root word for joy. Eternal joy at your right hand. For some reason, this verse reminds me of my predecessor, of our pastor emeritus, Pastor Scott Farmer. 23 years he served as the senior pastor here at CPC. And one of my favorite things about Scott, and we would meet frequently when he was here and I worked under his leadership, when we would meet, he would often tap on the door of my office and he would say, you ready to go? And I would say, yes. And he said, would you mind walking? If there was ever a way to have a walking meeting, he would say, do you want to walk? And he would usually follow it up with say, I got to move. I got to wiggle. He would go like that because he hated sitting in meetings. That's one of the reasons I love him because I feel the same way, quite frankly. But I was reminded of him when I read this verse, and then also this week when I saw Bill Haslam, who is our associate pastor, we're doing these devotionals several times a week. They're called CPC Moments. They're online. See, not everything is bad on social media, for sure. We're pumping out these devotionals that are very encouraging to you. And I listened to Bill's just like I listened to all of them, and I loved it. And I would tell you, as you're watching here, when you watch these devotionals, I want you to watch them, and I want you to share them. Watch them and share them. It will expand the reach of God's word to then your platform and your influence of people. Watch them. This message, watch it and share it. Share it now. Devotionals, watch them, share them. Bill's devotional stood out because he went up to I think it was like the top of Mount Diablo. It looked like a green screen. It looked fake, but it was majestic. It was real. It was brilliant. And he spoke out of Luke chapter 5, and he said, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to be in the presence of God and to pray. He went on walks. He was God. He could be in God's presence immediately with his Father. Walk the path where you feel God's presence. Go to a place, a hiking trail, a walking trail, a walk around your neighborhood where you pray. Walk the path where you feel God's presence. It will help you fight FOMO. You'll feel God's presence. You'll experience his joy. You'll be sensitive and aware of God's whispers. Walk the path where you feel God's presence. You'll be aware of his promptings. In closing, four ways to fight FOMO. Number one, take refuge in God. Number two, practice gratitude for all God has given to you. Number three, set boundaries on social media. You won't regret it. And number four, walk the path where you feel God's presence. This is God's word for us this week. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to pray for you now. I'm going to pray for two things. Number one, I'm going to pray for you to close out this message. Number two, I'm going to pray God's blessing over our offering. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings online, of course. And so I'll just remind you that number two on this list is practice gratitude for all God has given to you. One of the ways that the Bible makes so clear that we can practice gratitude for the gifts God has given us is to respond to him, to worship him, to obey him through giving back to him. And so with the gifts that God has given to you, I would encourage you and I would thank you for giving back to God, for giving to God's work here at Community Presbyterian Church and giving to what God is doing to reach people for Christ. Like last weekend, we're reaching more people than ever for Christ, even in this unique season, and to be for the valley in ways that we never have before. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, first and foremost. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to divide it, to teach it, to apply it to our lives. We confess to you, you are an amazing, mighty God, and you're so provisional, you're so generous, you're so gracious. You've given us your one and only Son, and yet we experience fear of missing out. And so, Lord, if we need to take refuge in you, help us to do that. If we need to practice gratitude in a real, tangible way, help us to do that. If you convicting our hearts to set boundaries on social media, help us to do that. Lord, encourage us to walk a path where we feel your presence in our lives this week. We pray all these things. And Lord, we also ask for you to bless this offering. God, as people give at cpcdanville.org/give, or as they text to give, I pray that you would add your blessing to this offering, that you would increase it 30, 60, 100 fold, that by the power of your Spirit, that you would use it to accomplish your purposes. You are leading our church. You are reaching people for your name and your glory. You are showing people in our valley that this church and you, God yourself, are for them in profound ways. And in so doing, you are drawing people into relationship with yourself. I pray that you would encourage people to be generous, cheerful, joyful givers to your great work here. We love you. We thank you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.